Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another hour of Tribal Wisdom. I am your host, Cynthia Williamson. Happy Wedding Wednesday, everybody. It is Wedding Wednesday once again. So to all my Twitter friends and my Facebook friends, happy Wedding Wednesday to you. And I'd like to say a very happy birthday to Bruce Davis of Bodillion Bowties. He was featured in our premiere issue of Bridal Tribe magazine, and today is his birthday, and he's such a wonderful, wonderful designer that I wanted to be able to say happy birthday to you and thank you for being a part of our journey. We also have a couple of other announcements. Natural Hair Bride Couture Fashion Show with special guest nominated, Grammy-nominated R&B singer Dwele is still happening on May 24th, 2013. That's Friday, May 24th, 2013, starting at 7 p.m. You are still able to purchase tickets. So if you are interested in attending this event, please do go to naturalhairbride.com and click on their event, and it'll take you right over to the Eventbrite, and you can go ahead and purchase tickets. There is also a concert by Jay Lamont. Jay Lamont live in concert April 27th, not too many days away, a couple of weeks away, April 27, 2013, at the Grace and Mercy Cathedral Ministry at 2670 Dr. Carver Road in Charlotte, North Carolina. So to my North Carolina listeners, if you'd like to hear some wonderful music, a very talented and gifted singer, please find your way there. It starts at 6 p.m. If you're on Facebook, just go over to Jay Lamont on Facebook, and you can get the rest of the information there. I will also post some of the information in tonight's event. But tonight, we do have a special guest. I'm so glad to have him on. As you remember me telling you that this is the month for ideas, interests, and attitudes, and we're going to be discussing attitudes about prenuptial agreements. We have Glenn Dornfield. He is an attorney and a mediator for family and a few other things. I'm going to actually allow him to tell you what it is that he does, but we're going to be discussing prenuptial agreements. So if you have any questions and you'd like to call in, the telephone number is 347-996-3160. Be sure to press the number one if you have a question or a comment. And if you just want to listen, you don't have to press the number one. But we will not hesitate, and let's bring him in right now. Glenn? Hi, Glenn.
Hi, Cynthia. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Wonderful, wonderful. I'm very, very happy and excited to have you on the show tonight.
Well, I really appreciate the invitation. I look forward to this conversation.
Wonderful. First, why don't you just tell us, I introduced you very briefly, but you can tell us more about you than I can. So.
Sure. Thank you for the opportunity. I'm an attorney and mediator. I practice in New York City, in Manhattan. I am a solo practitioner, which means that I work for myself. I'm not part of a big firm. And that means that everybody gets individualized attention rather than being shunted off to different other people than me who might do the work. I am a one-man shop, and I do all my work, and so I'm very hands-on. Mm-hmm. I've been mediating family matters for about 20 years now, mm-hmm. And then I do the legal work connected with mediations. So, for instance, if a couple comes to me because they want help putting together a prenup, I'll meet with both of them as a mediator. If I'm mediating, I'm not going to take either person's side, but I'm acting as a neutral, and I'm helping both of them figure out what they want in their prenup and what they don't want. And then I'll take off my mediator hat, I'll put on my lawyer hat, and I'll draft an agreement for them as a neutral attorney, not either person's individual advocate, but as an advocate for the couple.
Now, that's interesting because you rarely hear about someone that will advocate for a couple. Usually, you know, it's about taking sides. So how exactly does that work?
Well, I think it's a really important piece of discussing prenups. When people are getting married, obviously that's a process of their coming together, of trying to get off on a good foot, of pledging their lives together. And I would think the last thing that people would want to do in that situation is for each of them to have their own adversarial advocate, mm-hmm. who would obviously be looking out for their own client's interests, even if that might mean it would be at the expense of the other spouse or the other fiancé.
Mm-hmm.
So when people are trying to come together, mediation, I think, is really an important thing for them to consider if they're going to do a prenup.
Mm-hmm.
So they would sit with me together and they would express their concerns. I would ask them why they wanted a prenup. Maybe one or both of them have children from prior marriages and they want to make sure that their children's rights aren't lost into the marital estate in case they divorce later on.
Mm-hmm.
One of them might have an obligation to a business where they can't, they might lose their business if their spouse would get a share of it as part of a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are various reasons why people might be looking for a prenup, and I would ask some questions to get down to what their purposes were, and then I'd help them together plan something that would make sense for both of them. I have been involved in a number of negotiations. I don't only mediate. I do negotiate and do more traditional legal work, although I prefer mediation when people want that. I've been involved in a number of adversarial negotiations of prenups, and you have people crying and screaming at each other. I did one a few months ago,
mm-hmm.
where the husband was the one who insisted on a prenup, and he wanted the wife to accept that she would have nothing if they divorced.
Okay.
Nothing.
Now, I find
that
very interesting when you plan on building a life with someone, that someone would expect you to take away nothing from something that you've built.
It was very sad. If I remember, the guy was making about $250,000 a year, and the wife was making around $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
And from his point of view, not that I adopted or agree with his point of view, but from his point of view, he was saying that she should trust him that he would take care of her, and that was all fine and good, but then he wanted it legally binding that he had no obligation to take care of her. And as her advocate in this negotiation, I kept on asking, how can you expect her to trust you if you're making her sign something saying you're not going to be obligated to give her anything? How does that engender trust?
Right.
When I wasn't talking to him in meetings, because we had several meetings together, when mm-hmm. I was just speaking to my client, I kept asking her, are you sure you want to marry this guy? I mean, he's trying to, you know, even if they were married 20 years, she wasn't going
to
get anything. And finally, I negotiated up so that she would get a tiny, tiny piece.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really sad. She wound up marrying him. I covered my assets, as we say, and I had her sign something saying that she understood what her rights were, and she understood that I was advising her not to sign this prenup, but he wasn't going to marry her unless she did.
Right.
And guests were already flying in from all over the place, and so she went through with the wedding. But and I haven't heard from her, so I don't know what happened. But anyway, that's just one horror story.
Right.
But,
now,
go ahead.
I was going to say, the interesting thing about what you're saying is it sounds like she was making an emotional decision, and I definitely want to get into that portion of understanding making a prenuptial agreement without having so much personal emotion because of a wedding invested mm-hmm. in it. But mm-hmm. we'll get to that. I just want to point that part out, that we have to come back to that point.
I'd be happy to. It's a crucial point.
Mm-hmm.
So my preference is, and I, in most cases, I think it's best for people to try to go to mediation and to show faith in a process that's neutral
mm-hmm.
and faith and show faith in the other person that there's going to be a discussion, a negotiation, if you will, rather than one person laying down the law and saying, take it or leave it, I'm not going to mm-hmm. marry you unless you sign this.
Okay.
In mediation, both people are on a level playing field.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an open conversation where they express their desires, their dreams, their expectations. And as a mediator, I would help them come up with terms that satisfy both of them.
Well, I think that a lot of people are under the impression that prenuptial agreements are always, or the majority of them are about money and assets. Where I think that a lot of them actually include lifestyle and agreements about children. Is this correct?
They can include agreements about children, but some of that may not be enforceable.
Mm-hmm.
Most, and I think all states in the United States have child support laws. They vary from state to state, but in general, there's a formula or a software program that dictates how much child support should be,
mm-hmm.
depending on the number of children, depending on each person's income, and sometimes several other factors.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the people don't have children yet, but they're going to have children, I don't see how any state would say that the children's needs can be taken care of if the children don't exist yet.
Right.
And so prenup terms about, for instance, child support, there's nothing illegal with putting terms about child support into a prenup.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not necessarily enforceable.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing for custody and visitation. If you don't have children, you could put into your prenup, let's say, that if the people divorce, the children will live with the mother. But most states follow the best interests of the children test in determining where the children should live, and
mm-hmm.
I don't think any court would consider itself bound to something that was decided before a child
right.
was even born.
Right.
But
right.
again, you know, you can put that into your agreement. There's nothing illegal. You're not going to be arrested for putting it into your agreement. It just
right.
the court won't follow it.
Right. I just think that it would be, if they hadn't discussed what their feelings were about it beforehand, that this might be a good time during a prenuptial agreement meeting to kind of, like you said, discuss your desires and thoughts on what you think would happen should things not work out.
Well, you bring up a very good point. Prenups can be very helpful between people because it encourages them to have conversations that a lot of the time people are uncomfortable having.
Mm-hmm.
They don't necessarily, they don't want to kind of throw a pall over the rosy glow of the courtship
right.
by asking, oh, by the way, you don't want to have any children, do you? Or you want to have 8 children like I do, right? It's the typical. There was an old TV show, Green Acres, where one of them was a city person and the other person was a country person, and they always fought over, that was their eternal argument, was one of them wanted to just live in, was an urbanite, and the other one was a farmer. And how they got married, nobody knows. But that's a conversation that it might be very helpful for people to have, whether or not they're actually having a prenup. Mm-hmm. But the prenup, having the prenup can gently encourage people to talk about things they otherwise might not. People,
right.
even in 10-year marriages, people don't talk about some of these things. They just silently hope that they're on the same page as their spouse.
Right, I've run into a lot of individuals who've gone that route, and I was very surprised, considering there is so much information on premarital counseling, prenuptial counseling, just all the different avenues that are out there for people to have an open discussion, or at least to begin the discussion. A lot of people are still just kind of marrying in a state of hope.
That's right. Absolutely right.
So one of the things that you wrote, which I can't wait to get into, is you said that you are probably already covered by an implicit default prenuptial agreement. What exactly is that?
Well, it may sound more mysterious than it really is. Every state has matrimonial law. And so the matrimonial law of the state where you live or where you're going to live is, in effect, your default prenup. Mm-hmm. In New York, for instance, the law on – I practice in New York, so that's what I'm an expert on.
Please do. I'm from New York, so I want to hear this.
Okay. In New York, the law on division of marital property is called equitable distribution. Mm-hmm. And note that word is not equal distribution, but equitable. In other words, what's fair. And there are various, and in fact, many, many cases that define equitable distribution in all kinds of specific and sometimes strange ways. But the point is that if you marry and you don't have a prenup, then whatever New York state law is, or the law of the state wherever you are, is your default prenup.
Mm-hmm.
So if in your state, let's make up that there's a state where the law is that anything that's listed in someone's name is that person's property. So
mm-hmm.
if we get married and we buy a house and I list it in my name, it's my house, and you don't have any share to it. We could change that in a prenup. We could, in a prenup, say anything that either of us gets during the marriage is automatically both of our property, even though the law might say differently. But
wow.
the default prenup in that state would be that if we didn't have our own actual prenup, the default would be that anything either person obtained or earned during the marriage would be their own separate property. I'm making an extreme example. I don't think any state has that as its law. I'm just saying, using that to contrast what a prenup could do versus what a default prenup is. It's just the law of the state where you live.
Okay. Okay. So you also said you're fairly free to tailor your prenup as you wish. But terms in the prenup about children, which we already kind of discussed, are
mm-hmm.
not enforceable. But just going into tailoring a prenup as you wish, are there what you would consider some basic points that would go into a prenup that you discuss with a couple?
Yeah, one common one is what they're going to do about their retirement assets.
Mm-hmm.
People get very possessive of their retirement. When people work and they put money into a bank account, many people are comfortable with the notion that anything that either of them puts into a bank account during their marriage is shared property? Is marital property subject to being divided by the law of the state? In New York, equitable distribution. Other states are equal distribution or community property or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
But people get attached to the concept of their own retirement in a different way. And a lot of the time, people look at their retirement as, you know, that's my sweat over 20 years at this crappy job that I've had, and I worked my butt off just to put that retirement together. And even though the law in our state may be that that's supposed to be shared marital property, which it generally is,
mm-hmm.
you can put into your prenup, for instance, that each person keeps their own retirement.
Okay.
And so that's one way that you're free to tailor your prenup as you wish. And then I think that if I were marrying someone and they were going to have more retirement than I was, and their expectation was that they were going to keep all of their retirement and not share it with me in case we divorce, I would want to know that going in. I might then say, okay, you know, that you're making more than me, you're putting more into your retirement than me, so if this is our deal going in, remember, prenup is premarital, it's before they get married, they might want to say, all right then, in our marriage, if you're going to be making more and you're keeping your retirement separate, I have to worry about my own retirement. So I'm not going to contribute as much as you to marital expenses. I can't, because mm-hmm. you're not going to share your retirement with me if our marriage goes south. And that's, I can accept that, but only if I get to put all of my or most of my income into my own retirement, just so that I come out on a level that's similar to yours. So it's helpful knowledge going in, and it helps people plan how to live their lives and how to do their marital accounts. And if it's people's intention to keep, again, for instance, retirement separate, then that's fine, but people should know that.
Okay. Then here's a question, because I'm getting a question in the group about mm-hmm. about the attitude of a prenup. There are some, you know, that are for it. There are some that are so vehemently against it, which I find surprising sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's just an opinion, a question on your opinion, but why is it that you think people see having a discussion about prenuptial as divisive in a relationship instead of helpful?
That's a very good question. I look at it that there are good reasons and bad reasons to have prenups, and then there are some that are neither good nor bad.
Mm-hmm.
Bad reasons are people sometimes ask for prenups because they don't know why, someone told them to, it's
mm-hmm.
a status symbol, they misunderstand the law, they think it's cool, they see that rich people get them, and they figure, okay, I might be rich one day too, I better have one. Those aren't very informed reasons to have a prenup. I don't mean to judge anybody who chooses to have a prenup on that basis, but it's just not an informed reason. Good reasons to have prenups are to protect interests of their existing children from prior relationships, as I said before.
Nice.
To protect family wealth that might otherwise become marital property. Like, let's say dad is buying a house for the couple.
Mm-hmm.
And that house has been in the family for generations. And dad says, I'm buying you the house, but I want it to be clear that this house is not going to be, if you divorce, this house is going to stay yours, my son or my daughter's, rather than becoming half yours and half your soon-to-be ex-spouses.
Mm-hmm.
And that might even be a condition on the father making the gift of the house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that might be the family home for 50, 100 years, and the father might look at it and say, if there's a chance that our traditional family home might be lost in a divorce, I'm not going to make this gift.
Right.
I don't want this house lost. Or someone might have worked to build a business or to earn a piece of property that they don't want lost in that way.
Right.
Another good reason for a prenup is to be clear on pre-existing debt or undertakings that either spouse might have during the marriage. If they're getting married and one of them owes $100,000, the other person might say, you know, I'm really nervous about people coming after me for your debt.
Mm-hmm.
Even though legally in most states I don't think they would be obligated to have to pay it, they still don't want people coming after them. And so
right.
I think that having it in a prenup that the person, you know, the one who's carrying the debt burden acknowledges that they're going to be solely responsible for the debt, and if someone comes after the other person, they're going to protect the other person and take the full responsibility, I think that that would make the person who didn't have all the debt a lot more comfortable about getting into the marriage.
I agree. I've seen a lot of individuals who actually say, oh, well, I'm not going to marry you until this is paid off. until this debt is paid off, or until I know that your credit score is where it needs to be, where we're not both affected negatively, we're not walking down an aisle. And then I've seen, you know, and they give the person an amount of time. I say, you've got 2 years to get this right.
Yep. That makes sense, but another way to handle that is to put in a prenup that it remains that person's responsibility. And then they can even drill down further and talk about future debt or talk about debt service, like, you know, you're going to also pay all interest on that debt, and I'm not going to sign anything during the marriage where I might wind up having to pay your future expenses so that you can pay off your back debt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, they can drill down, as we discussed a few minutes ago. People can be as clear as they want and as creative as they want to have whatever terms make sense in their prenup. So.
All right. So, I mean, you've come up with some great points, because I can understand someone saying, you know, we both have children from a previous relationship, and to protect them, we need to come up with certain rules to let this go as smoothly as possible. And then, of course, as you said, if there's a family business or an asset that you don't want affected negatively by something or by a broken relationship, that's another wonderful reason to draw up a prenup. And it's not necessarily about foreseeing trouble in a relationship, but just strictly for protection of the asset and family business.
Many people with existing children might say, I can't, you know, I've worked for the last 15, 20 years to leave something to my kids, and I can't risk it now just to get married in the middle of my life.
Right.
I just can't do that. If you're not willing to sign a prenup, I don't want my children's inheritance or what I've been building for them to be wasted.
Mm-hmm.
And if certain property would go to the ex-spouse in a divorce instead of to the kids, that's something that people need to be smart about.
True. And then, of course, pre-existing debt. That is huge, because I have seen that really tear a lot of people apart. It really is. It has torn a lot of people apart. I've recently seen someone who asked the person up front about any debt, or, you know, do you have any children? Or they said, yes, I have 2 children. They didn't meet the children. They did get married. They planned a life together. And then they filed taxes, and it turned out that he had, I think, 7 or 8 children.
Hello.
And after they filed taxes, they couldn't keep any money, because they kept coming after him for child support, and that affected the entire family, because there was nothing in place. She took him at his word, and it turned out to be slightly disastrous. So I really do, I understand what you're saying when you say have a prenup about pre-existing debt and have a prenup about previous children, or at least ask the question about previous children.
That's right.
But in a case like that, what would happen if you had a prenup and the person lied? What happens?
That's a good question. If somebody lied, if somebody lies, first of all, a prenup to be binding, like any contract, mm-hmm. has to be signed.
Mm-hmm.
And prenups, at least in New York State, and I presume in every state, have to be notarized as well. And notarizing just means that somebody who is trustworthy
mm-hmm.
acknowledges that somebody produced ID showing that they were the person who signed, so that the person who's trying to enforce the prenup won't have to prove that the other person really signed it.
Mm-hmm.
So the other person can't say, "Oh, that's not my signature. No, it was notarized.
Right.
There's somebody. No, we have a witness
right.
whose
there's
job
no
it is."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be signed and notarized. So that makes it a binding contract.
Okay.
If somebody commits fraud in a contract, the contract can be thrown out. The contract can be voided by a court. And certainly I would think that failure to disclose a number of children
mm-hmm.
depending on the circumstance, could be enough to void a contract, void a prenup.
But when you're voiding the prenup, because, of course, sometimes, you know, there are so many emotions that are still mixed in, and
mm-hmm.
we can discuss how emotions affect the whole prenuptial process, prenuptial agreement process. With all of these emotions mixed in, if the contract becomes null and void, does the marriage, I mean, do they now have the opportunity to say, you know, this marriage is annulled?
I think you picked exactly the right terminology. Annulled they would probably head towards annulment rather than divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And annulment can be based on, independent of whether they had a prenup or not, one of the grounds for annulment, again in New York State, that's where I practice,
mm-hmm.
is one of the grounds for annulment is fraud in the inducement of the marriage contract.
Mm-hmm.
If you told somebody you were Donald Trump and you weren't, and you just looked like Donald Trump, they could, you know, sorry for you, but
right.
if you look like that man, please don't tell him I said
it.
So.
I'm not. He's going to hear it for himself if he ever listens to the show.
Probably so. I have nothing against the man. But if you were impersonating a celebrity or just putting on that you were wealthy or putting on that you didn't have debt when you did,
mm-hmm.
if that's a severe enough falsehood, that could be ground to annul the marriage. And if you said you had $100,000 and you only had $98,000, I don't think that rises to that level.
No,
but if you said you owned property around all around the world and, in fact, you had debt all around the world but no property, I think that, you know, would be a good argument to have a court annul the marriage on the basis of fraud.
Okay. Now,
one thing I should mention, if I can interrupt for a second, it's very common for people in their prenup to attach a statement of their assets and their debts.
Mm-hmm.
If people are going to have a prenup, if a couple is going to have a prenup, I very strongly advise that, because that provides a record in case later on there's doubt about whether either person told the truth, that provides a record of what they told each other at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So, And it's usually not part of the actual text of the agreement. It's usually just attached as an appendix to the agreement. But it might say, Joe Smith states and swears that this is an accurate list of his assets and liabilities. And it says, a farm in South Carolina worth $1 million, $500,000 in stock with Morgan Stanley, bank account of $250,000 and $20,000 in credit card debt. Mm-hmm. And Mary Jones lists that she has whatever she has and whatever debt she has. Then later on, if it turns out that either of them was materially misrepresenting, you know, not slightly fudging just to round off,
right,
but was materially misrepresenting, then the other person could say, would have it right there. You said you owned a $1 million farm in South Carolina. You don't own any farm. Mm-hmm. You never did. You didn't at that time, and you lied to me. And that statement of assets would be a document that they could use to as evidence of what was said at that time. So that's why that's a really good thing to do.
I like that the process of at least, if not drawing up a prenuptial agreement, but at least having the discussion of a prenuptial
mm-hmm.
will help the couple disclose a lot of information, as you said earlier, that they may be too fearful of asking from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I think that people sometimes, in the throes of love, forget that you are combining lives here. You know, that you're really bringing together two separate lives. That during a marriage, you're continuously, you know, taking away your selfishness and molding. Into this long-lasting relationship, and that there's going to be all of these bumps and bruises and you know, lessons learned along the way. And without the right amount of disclosure or information, it really makes things a lot harder.
Yes, it does. There's a lot that people take for granted or hope for the best on
mm-hmm.
when they don't have those conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons that I do a lot of divorce work, too. I'm not mm-hmm. emphasizing that in tonight's conversation.
Right.
But one of the reasons a lot of people get divorced is that they don't know yet who they're going to be. And they just, as they grow and figure out who they're going to be, one person is not a good match for the other person.
Mm-hmm.
One person decides, a long time ago, the wife meets this guy and falls in love with him, and when she meets him, he goes fishing every weekend with his buddies.
Mm-hmm.
2 years later, she divorces him because he goes fishing every weekend with his buddies. They never had the conversation.
Right.
She assumed and hoped and probably was fearful of asking because she wanted her dream to be a true dream.
Mm-hmm.
She was hoping that he would be in love with her and he wouldn't go fishing every weekend with his buddies, maybe once in a while, you know, once every few months, twice over
mm-hmm.
the summer, whatever. But they never had the conversation. And he maybe also was fearful of raising it. Maybe if he were a forthright person, he would have said before the marriage, by the way, I don't mean any offense to you, but I hope you're not expecting me to give up my fishing every weekend with my buddies, because that's my
right.
thing. You know, and if that's what you're looking for, if you want me to give that up, then let's not bother.
I really.
But they didn't have that conversation. Mm-hmm. They didn't have that conversation, and I think that that's one of the ways. I'm not encouraging people to have prenups if they don't need them, but that's one of the ways that a prenup can be helpful, just to kind of encourage them to be open with each other about how they envision their lives.
Okay. As on your journey as a mediator, what percentage would you say, what percentage of couples are coming to the table mature enough to address these types of issues?
Well, couples who are looking for prenups, or are you saying, you know, I see couples at all different stages, so I don't know how to answer the question.
Okay, well, then why don't you tell me what you mean by stages?
Well, if you're talking about people who are coming to me to mediate, to work out the terms of a prenup, then I think that people like that are ready to have that conversation. At least one of them is, and the other one is going to be dragged into that conversation. And it's going to be a good thing in the long run, even if they weren't expecting to have that conversation.
Right. Kicking and screaming in this situation is a good thing.
At least at the beginning.
Right.
Because then it becomes, okay, what do you want, the person who's kicking and screaming? If the wife is asking for the prenup, the husband doesn't want one, he gets his forum. He gets the floor and gets to say, okay, what is he looking for, just as much as she does. And go ahead.
I was going to say, because the questions are like starting to come now to my mind, where I'm like, would you say that a large amount of couples that have had prenuptial agreements done had successful marriages?
That's a really good question. I think that, and I haven't seen studies on this. This is just based on my impression. I think that people who ask for prenups are probably more likely to get divorced than people who don't have prenups.
Really?
Yes, I have seen a statistic. I don't remember where it was, and I don't remember the exact percentages. But and this isn't the same thing, but just kind of it strikes me as similar.
Mm-hmm.
Couples where the wife does not take the husband's last name have a higher rate of divorce than couples where the wife does take the husband's last name. And my wife didn't take my last name, but we are doing fine.
Thank you for mentioning that. She's sitting next to you.
No, she's not. She's not here. I'm at my office. We're doing fine. We're doing great. But I think that there is asking for a prenup. Let's face it. It's somebody who's hedging their bets.
Mm-hmm.
It depends. If it's somebody who's protecting family wealth or protecting children's rights, then they're doing what they have to do.
Right. That's how I see it. Right. I think that if the reason is because of the three that you mentioned earlier, I would like to know, you know, at some point I have to try to do some research. I'd like to know if those marriages were more successful than those who did not ask for a prenuptial agreement. But if we're just talking about two people who come to the table with basically, you know, the same things, and
distrust.
Yes. You know, what are the outcomes? I would love to see some numbers.
I have to tell you, I would love to see those numbers too. I don't. I honestly don't have the time to do the research myself. But that couple who I spoke about, where the husband insisted on a prenup and didn't want to give his wife anything, I don't think that their marriage is a great candidate for long-term success. I wish them well. She's in love with the guy. I tried every which way to kind of take the stars out of her eyes and to see him for, pardon me for saying this, but to see him for the financial bully that he was. And she cried and she knew he was treating her unfairly in this prenup, but she was in love with him. I hope that they're very happy together. I hope that they both make millions of dollars and are, you know, live a very prosperous life and have kids who are healthy too. But I think that that marriage is
headed in a particular direction.
Yeah, less likely to be a long-term success than other marriages.
Mm-hmm.
If people mm-hmm. are just asking for prenups because they don't trust each other, not because they're protecting any outside or pre-existing entities, conditions, whatever, I think that, you know, I have to think that the success rate of those marriages is lower than marriages where there's no prenup.
Right.
But at the same time, sometimes I think we have to, in this modern age, we might have to redefine what a successful marriage is. If a couple is married for 15 years and they have children and then they decide that it's time to both let each other go, I don't know that that's an unsuccessful marriage.
Right.
If people may be able to say, you know, we have three lovely children, we were best partners for each other for 15 years, and now we're just no longer, you know, our journey together is coming to a close, without the animosity that people often have in divorce. But they just, you know, if people can just say, you know, I wish you the best, you're a great person, you're wonderful to me, but I don't love you anymore, and I can't help that, and it's time for us to move on, then maybe that can be a successful marriage, even though it's not an eternal marriage.
Yes, that that is a great point. That really is a great point to put out there. That just because it didn't last or wasn't eternally, that does not mean that it was not a good or successful marriage.
Right. I mean, we've all had relationships that might have been good relationships, even though they didn't culminate in a marriage, which then became a lifetime marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to think that if people in a relationship treat each other well, and if both people grow in a relationship, then that's a positive thing. And if a marriage can have a certain amount of sharing and growth and good times, and, you know, maybe that's a successful marriage now. And probably nobody would have said that 50 years ago when divorce was so less common.
Taboo.
That's right. Yeah. So.
Well, this has been enlightening, and I'm hoping that my listeners got as much out of it as I did.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Because I have to say that I really didn't think of it that way. I'm still on the fence. Now that you've given me all this information, because I came into this actually for prenuptials.
Mm-hmm.
But like now I'm a little bit on the fence because I'm like, wow, let's see. If we both came in and if we did not disclose enough of what we needed to disclose beforehand, and I'm going in because I just want to make sure that the person is giving me enough information to make a more informed decision, then I might not want to marry this guy anyway.
Right. But one thing I did want to cover, and we haven't had the chance to yet, is part of what I would look at is also how is the subject of the prenup approached?
Okay, we can cover that because we still have 10 minutes.
Oh, great. A number of times I've worked with people where the spouse who wanted the prenup, and it's usually, I hate to say it, it's usually the man in my experience,
mm-hmm.
could be the woman in other cases, but I haven't come across that many of them. Mm-hmm. The man will spring a prenup on the wife a few days before the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I have more trouble with that than if the husband says, say 6 or 9 months ahead, you know, I really want a prenup, let's talk about it. But instead the husband says 3 days before the wedding, and I have heard of it happening where the husband pulls out a prenup on the morning of the wedding, the first time the wife has seen it, and he says, sign this or the wedding is off.
That's like, that's emotional blackmail.
It's cold. It's just cold-blooded.
It really is.
Yeah, you know, the people are all already at their, leaving their hotels to go to the wedding, and, you know, how can you do that to somebody? The good news is that sometimes prenups can be thrown out by a court if the circumstances of their being presented are coercive.
Yes.
You can't be held to a contract, or you can try to get out of a contract if you were coerced into it.
Yeah, clearly, if you're under duress.
Exactly.
Clearly under duress. If here we are about to walk down the aisle, I mean, there's enough duress during the wedding process.
So that's right.
The wedding day, forget it.
Yep. So in those cases, first of all, it's an awful thing to do. I think that sometimes men are conflicted and they're not comfortable. They know that the prenup isn't going to be seen, isn't going to be welcomed by the spouse, by the bride, and so they're hesitant to spring it on them. And they know they should present it 3 months ahead, and 2 months ahead, and then 1 month ahead. Then they're saying, you know, I never did have her sign that prenup, and the friends are saying you're crazy, or dad is saying you better have her sign that thing. And then out of some kind of emotional spasticity, I don't know what to call it, you know, the husband just says, here, I need to have you sign this. And it's just a really bad way to do it. And that, I would think, doesn't bode well for that marriage either, because you're really springing something on somebody in an unfair, underhanded, deceptive way.
Yeah, he would be standing there by himself. Right.
Yeah.
He would definitely be. I know I would walk away in a heartbeat.
I would like to think that I would too. I would like to think that most people would, but I think a lot of people are just like, well, I love this person. This is an awful thing to do, but all these people are already, you know, we paid the band. We can't get the money back. We paid for the food. The pastor is there.
We would still party. I would not have a party.
It would be a different kind of party.
Exactly. I would definitely not stop the party. I would still party. And if he wants to party with me, we can. But it would be something that he would have to bear the brunt of. Even if I say, listen, I still love you. I still like to get married. But we're going to party tonight, and we can talk about this prenup and plan a justice of peace later on.
Well, I've heard of cases where that happened, where they didn't sign the prenup, they had a party anyway. Sometimes they don't even tell the guests that they weren't really married, and then they, in a more calm fashion, discuss the prenup and then have the actual wedding later.
Glenn,
what was that?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Am I breaking up? Yeah, a lot.
Yeah, I was having trouble hearing you too. So I don't know if it's my line or your line or whatever.
Blog Talk Radio, I'm not sure. But I'm hoping that, can you hear me better now?
Yeah, you're now starting to come through better again. Can you hear me better now?
Well. Yeah, you as well. Yes, that's wonderful.
Okay, good.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I have heard of cases where they pretended to be married and worked out the terms of a prenup. And by the way, people can not sign a prenup but have it as a postnuptial agreement in that circumstance, where they can just have trust and faith in each other, get married, and then work out the terms of an agreement more calmly over the next couple of months.
Absolutely.
Rather than with a gun at their heads.
Yes. Yes, I definitely agree with that, and I'm glad to hear you say that is definitely an option. You want to not, you know, because some people, like I said, weddings are so stressful at a lot of times. If someone springs a prenuptial agreement on you at the last minute and you're emotionally conflicted, you can still ask for a postnuptial agreement and say, you know, we're either going to do this right now without the prenuptial and we're going to discuss it later, or we're not going to do this at all. So you do
right.
have options. You have options. Mm-hmm. Listeners, please know what your options are when it comes to this type of behavior. If you're so in love with that individual that you still want to go on with the wedding, know that you can ask for a postnuptial or walk away.
Yeah, let's not do a prenup. Instead, let's do a postnup. We will we'll do this calmly over the next few months. And there won't be any gun to anybody's head, and then the pressure is off, and people can have a calm conversation.
Yes, yes. Well, now, why don't you tell us where we can find you if people want to talk to you about having a prenup or a postnup done, or just some mediation services, because you also deal with mediation.
That's right. I'm a mediator, and most of my cases are divorces, just because that there's a lot more divorce than there are prenups. that's just a fact of our society.
Right. Right. Well, that's what this show is kind of about, trying to have open conversations about situations so that we can kind of avoid having so many divorces. Let's start having talks first and beforehand, and then know what your options are so that you can make better decisions.
That's beautiful. I'm really behind that. That's great. For people to reach me, my phone number is 212-740-4004. I'll repeat that. It's 212-740-4004. And my website is one word, divorcemediationattorney.com. My website is about to undergo a radical overhaul. But,
restructuring.
Yeah. But the URL will stay the same.
Wonderful.
And if people want to email me, my email address is my last name followed by ESQ. My last name is Dornfeld, Dornfeld, followed by ESQ, no punctuation yet, all at earthlink.net.
Great. So,
I always make it a point to speak to people for as long as they want on the phone or by email. I don't charge for initial consultations or anything like that. So if people have questions about the mediation process or what they're looking for and how they might be able to get it, I'm happy to spend the time with them.
Great. I want to let everyone know that I will be putting Glenn's information into the event tonight so that if you have any other questions for him, he's happy to take your questions via email or via a call. You want to stop by and talk to him if you're looking to get married, whether this is your first wedding or your second or your third, whichever one it is. You take some time to consider this as one of your options. And if you do nothing but just have a conversation about it with him, you would have at least opened your mind to what it is that you can do, what it is that you can discuss. How to bring it up. I like, you know what, do you have a blog?
I've been so busy, I haven't had the time to set up a blog. I've been thinking about it, but I don't have one.
Okay, because I'm definitely going to send you an email about suggestions based on our conversation tonight. I'm going to want to put an article about this particular subject in the magazine.
I'll be happy to guest post for you if you'd like.
Yay, thank you, Glenn.
Really my pleasure. It's been wonderful having this conversation with you, Cynthia.
Thank you. All right, everyone. You know that we are here every Wedding Wednesday from 9:30 to 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are a company about love, beauty, fun, weddings, and marriage, and we are devoted to love. Bridal Tribe is a company that is devoted to love. So just like Glenn, we are in the process of relaunching our website and our blog, but currently you can go to the website and sign up to be notified of the relaunch. So please do go to www.bridaltribe.com, put put in your name, put in your email address, and get ready. And I can't wait to have Glenn guest post about prenuptial agreements. I'm going to send him the questions. I'm so excited about this. So later on, we will post the show up in the event so that you can listen to it again if you missed any part of it. And we will see you again on next Wednesday, where we'll have another discussion. Hopefully, we'll be talking about insurance, the process of insurance beneficiaries, and why it is so important to have that conversation. We love you as always. You have a good night.